Okay, today we're going to do the Hakdama of the Sefer Eretz Tzvi. Yesterday I was at a bris, there was a bris in my shul, and they named the baby Tzvi Aryeh, so I got to thinking about my own name, Aryeh Tzvi, and I recalled that the only gadol I know that shares a name with me, Aryeh Tzvi, is Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frommer, the author of the Sefer Eretz Tzvi, known as the Kozhuk Lover Gaon. So I want to talk a little bit about him and read the Hakdama, or the Psicha, to his Sefer. Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frommer was born in 1884. He was murdered in the Holocaust. He was a Rav in many different cities. He was, his mother died when he was very, very young, and he was sent away from his home to learn in yeshiva at a very young age. Right after his bar mitzvah, he went to Sukhachev to learn by the Avni Nezer, and that's where he got his whole derech in Limud. His style in learning is very similar to the Avni Nezer, with the Harifus and always with Mar Makomus. He would never connect with each other, you know, that he manages to bring in to connect with each other. He became a major chassid of the Avni Nezer, of the Sukhachev Gaon, of the Sukhachev Rebbe, and he was actually a chassid of the first three Sukhachev Rebbes, because the Avni Nezer died, and then he was a chassid of the Shem Shmuel, and then the Shem Shmuel died. I don't know who was after the Shem Shmuel, but whoever it was, he became a major Sukhachev chassid. He wrote a sefer called Siach HaSoda, which is on Inyanim of Shas, particularly Seder Moed related items that comes together when you buy the three volume set of Eretz Tzvi. You get the Siach HaSoda together with it. One of the volumes is Siach HaSoda. He has drushes on Chumash. He has tshuvas. This is tshuva sefer. When the Avni Nezer died, the Shem Shmuel, the Avni Nezer's son and successor, appointed Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frommer as the Rosh Yeshiva in Sukhachev. But Sukhachev was destroyed in World War I. So after World War I, he had to go find a new place. The whole town, the whole yeshiva, everything was destroyed in World War I. So he went around from town to town, and each place he went, he became very popular. Everyone enjoyed his shiurim. They were impressed with his gaonus. He was an incredible genius. And it got to the point where the premier yeshiva in all of Poland, Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, was looking for a Rosh Yeshiva, because Rav Meir Shapiro, the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin, died very suddenly in 1933. So they needed a new Rosh Yeshiva. So they invited him to be the Rosh Yeshiva in Chachmei Lublin. So even though he's known as the Kozhuklov Ragon, he spent a few years as a Rav in Kozhuklov, but he was really, toward the end of his life, he was the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva's Chachmei Lublin. I'm sure you've heard of Yeshiva's Chachmei Lublin. It's the yeshiva where I forget exactly how many dapim of Gemara you needed to know Balpeh just to get in. I think it was 300 dapim Gemara, 500 dapim Gemara Balpeh, or something, just to get into the yeshiva. It was a revolutionary kind of yeshiva. Rav Meir Shapiro built it with dormitories for the Talmidim to live in the dorms. And it was somewhat controversial that he was raising so much money to try to build a yeshiva that's such a full-service kind of place with such an impressive library. People thought that the money should be used for other things and not necessarily to make a top-of-the-line kind of yeshiva. But it became a very, very serious and important yeshiva in Europe before the Second World War. Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frommer's style in learning, like I mentioned, is very similar to the Avni Nezer. It's unique in that, I don't want to say unique, but it's interesting in that he'll use Kabbalah and Agadah to determine halacha a lot of times. He'll bring in sources that you would think have no place in a halachic discussion, and he'll use that in his discussions of halacha and his determinations of halacha. He moved to the Warsaw Ghetto after the yeshiva was closed down, after the Nazis closed down Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, and he was sent from shortly after the Warsaw Ghetto uprising, he was sent to a concentration camp, and he died just a couple of weeks later, in May 2nd, 1943. Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frommer died, and the tshuvas were published. He had a nephew in Eretz Yisrael, who made it to, who already moved to Haifa, I think, in the 1930s. He actually once visited and spent some time. He writes in the Hakdama over here, the nephew, Dov Frommer, writes that his exceptional uncle, not great uncle as in great, his exceptional, outstanding uncle had visited him in Eretz Yisrael, and he was so impressed by his uncle and so dedicated to him that he wanted to do whatever he could to try to to try to publish his Sfarim, to try to publish his Chidushei Torah, and he writes that he was in the Hakdama, they write that they were makbid to make it a very nice printing, to try to make it nice big pages with big letters, not difficult to read, in line with what Rabbi Akiva Eger writes to his son, Rosh Shlomo Eger. He says that when you publish my tshuvas, avakshech b'ni yedidi, lefkoach ayin al zeh, shiyah nitfas al niyar yafeh, that Rabbi Akiva Eger says, make sure you use nice paper, diyoshachar va'osyos na osos, shav black ink and really nice letters, kiledati hanefesh mispal va'das misravachas va'kavana misarares mitochalimud b'sefer noam uhuder. That's what Rabbi Akiva Eger said. I think that when people see a nice sefer, it helps. It helps their mind brought in. It helps them really get be more inspired by the learning and be able to penetrate the learning a little bit more, rather than when the letters are very tiny. So that's something that you see quoted in a lot of the newer Sfarim. They always quote Rabbi Akiva Eger. So over here also, they said from Rabbi Akiva Eger that they were makbid to make it as nice as possible, but they don't just quote from Rabbi Akiva Eger, they quote from the Kazhuk Glover himself, where the Kazhuk Glover himself has it in a few different places in his Sfarim about Hidur Mitzvah, the Rashi, Maseches Baba Kama and Daftes. When it talks about Gemara and Baba Kama and Daftes talks about how much you have to spend for Hidur Mitzvah. So it says Hidur Mitzvah Ad Shlish. So the Gemara says, what, Ad Shlish? So if a person does three mitzvahs, then he's done. So he has to spend one third of his money on a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, no, Ad Shlish be mitzvah, third of your one third of the price of the mitzvah. Extra for the sake of Hidur Mitzvah. So Gemara and Shabbos Kuflam Gimam Beis, amongst the sources that it, amongst the examples that it gives of Hidur Mitzvah, when it says Zeh Keli Van Vehu, from Zeh Keli Van Vehu, we learn that you have to do Hidur Mitzvah. So the Gemara in Shabbos says you have to have Lulavna, Tfilina, etc. And it says Talisna, you have to have a nice Talis. So everyone asks, why does it, and Rashi also has, from the separate from Talisna, Tzitzisna. So why would you say Talisna? The Mitzvah is not the Talis, the Mitzvah is the Tzitzis. So the Kazhuk Glover explained, based on the Yesod of the Ran in the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin. The Ran in the second parak of Kiddushin writes that the Mishnah says at the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin that Ha'ish Mekadesh Bo B'Shlucho, a man could be Mekadesh, a woman Bo B'Shlucho, a woman could be Miskadesh as Ba U'B'Shlucha. So the Gemara says, well, why does it say Bo B'Shlucho? So if B'Shlucho, if you could be Mekadesh woman with a Shliach, Bo Mi Ba'id, you need to tell me you could be Mekadesh a woman by yourself. Of course you could do it yourself if you could even send a shliach. Isha miskadesh is ba, b'shlucha ba mi ba'id. You need to tell me that she could do it herself. So Gemara says, mitzvah bo yosir mi b'shlucha. What it's trying to tell me is that it says bo b'shlucha to tell me that even though you can appoint a shliach, it's always better to do it yourself. So Frek the Rad, in the beginning of the second parak Kiddushin, I understand when you're talking from the man's perspective, bo u'b'shlucha, because mitzvah bo yosir mi b'shlucha, he has a mitzvah, so it's better for him to do the mitzvah himself rather than appoint a shliach. But why, from the woman's perspective, mitzvah bo yosir mi b'shlucha, what mitzvah does the woman have in getting married? The mitzvah of Puravu is only the man's mitzvah, it's not the woman's mitzvah. So says the Ran, Kivan di'i efsha lo lebal lekayim a mitzvah below a isha, since the husband cannot possibly do the mitzvah without the wife, without a woman, chashiva gam hi chayevas mekemes mitzvah bezeh. So she's considered a critical part of the mitzvah, meaning anyone who's needed for the mitzvah, it's ki'ilu they are in the mitzvah. They are mekayim the mitzvah, it's ki'ilu almost that they're chayiv in the mitzvah. So you could say mitzvah ba yoser mi b'shlucha, because the mitzvah is only possible when it comes about through her. So says the Kazhuk Glover, the same is true with Talis Noah. Why is it that Talis Noah is part of the mitzvah Zeh Keli Van Vehu? Because it's true, the mitzvah is the tzitzis. But you can't have tzitzis without a talis. Memela, the talis becomes part of the mitzvah, and you would say Zeh Keli Van Vehu even on the talis and not just on the tzitzis. And he says, and that's also why the Sefer Charedim holds that by Birchas Kohanim, there's a chiyuv on the Yisrael to be misbarech. Not only a chiyuv on the Kohanim to be mevarech liam, a chiyuv on the Yisrael to receive the bracha. Why? What does that mean, a chiyuv on Yisrael to receive the bracha? It doesn't say that anywhere in Chumash. No, but since a Kohen can only bless if there are people to bless, so the mitzvah can only be mekuyim if you have a Yisrael there to be blessed. Memela, they become part of the mitzvah. That's his style of charifus, connecting all these sugyas that you would think aren't really so connected. So that's what the grandchildren, or whoever it is, or the nephews, write about Rav Ari Tzvi Frumer. They say, we're going to write his tshuvas on nice, white, clean paper, because that becomes part of the mitzvah. It becomes a chelik of the mitzvah. The paper itself becomes part of the mitzvah. But anyway, let's go to the Hakdama first. The Hakdama is actually very short, but then he has a very long psicha. So we'll see how far we get, but we'll start with the Hakdama. And the Hakdama, which I photocopied for you on the front page over there, of what you have over there. So first his first paragraph is the classic, thank God I've reached this point and Hashem should give me koach to continue to learn Torah and to continue to create chidushim. And then the second paragraph is somewhat interesting. He says, when you publish Shalos HaTshuvos, he says, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to publish this Sefer. And people who I wrote these letters to, Shalos HaTshuvos are actual letters to actual people, so people who I wrote these letters to are going to say, oh, I remember that letter, and they're going to compare what it says in the Sefer with the letter, and they're going to see it's not the same. He says, don't worry, it hasn't been a forgery or anything like that. There are several reasons why it's not the same. First of all, he says, a lot of times I wrote a letter, then I thought of something else that I wanted to add. I thought of another chiddush, another angle, something else to say. So in my publication, I added the extra chiddush of Torah that I found. Or, I wrote a letter, and I regretted something that I had written in the letter. I wanted to take it back. I wasn't happy exactly with the way I came to a conclusion, or the way I analyzed a particular shayla. So I edited some things out. Or, he says a third possibility, sometimes, and this is unbelievable, he says, Lo nisharetzli had take me a tshuva shashalachti v'rishamti advarim lefi zichroni. He says, a lot of times I've just forgot to make a second copy of it, a duplicate for myself, so I was just doing it from memory. So if you see that there are minor differences, it's just because I'm rewriting the entire tshuva from memory, which is pretty impressive that he's even able to do that. But he said, that would explain that someone told me, Rabbi Salinger told me that he was learning by Rav Yonason Sachs one summer. Yonason Sachs is one of these brilliant. When he gives shiurim, everything's bal peh. There's nothing, not a note in front of him. So he was publishing a sefer at the time, and he gave out copies of some of the pieces that he was planning on publishing to the chevra and the kollel that was learning there, to see if they had any haras, any mistakes. So whenever they had a typo, they found a typo, they would bring it to him, and they would show the typo, and he wouldn't write it down, and he'd say, oh, okay, thank you. And that was it. And then he just assumed he would remember it, and I guess he did. But so he says, so sometimes out of memory, the Kashuk Lover says, from memory, I would rewrite it. And the fourth reason it's different is, he says, a lot of times the same shayla will be asked by multiple people. So I'll write slightly different tshuvas. So a lot of times when I publish it, I'm not going to publish the same tshuva five times in a row. So I condense it into one tshuva, so you shouldn't be nervous. This happens a lot of times where tshuva svarim are published, people who receive the tshuva themselves say, oh, it's a forgery, this isn't true, this is, I have the letter, it's not so, he didn't write like that. There were accusations like that by Rav Moshe's tshuvas, by the more recent volumes of Rav Moshe's tshuvas. People say, I have the letter Rav Moshe sent me. It's my name in there, and it's not exactly like it says in the tshuva. People tie it like that. So I don't know. Maybe there's similar teretz. Maybe Rav Moshe, when he wrote it over for himself for publication, added something, took something out, changed something. It's possible. I'm not sure, but. But that certainly is the case over here, as the author himself says. So another point he makes in the third paragraph of the Hakdama, he says, Yesh b'sifri tshuvos l'gedolim v'tzadikim asher katnam ava mimasni. He says, you'll find a lot of tshuvos to gedolim and tzadikim that are much, much greater than myself. Now often you read Shalos and Tshuvos, so you think that the author who's writing the Shalos and Tshuvos is answering people's questions who need him. They need him to answer their questions. Lesser people ask him questions so that the great Gadol could respond to their questions. He says, when I'm responding, you may notice some of the names of the people I'm responding to. Believe me, these people don't need me to respond. I just have a hara here, a hara there, and I like to talk into very Torah with people. So I'll send them something. Don't get the impression that I'm any greater than the Ger Rebbe. The Ger Rebbe in particular, he had a significant correspondence with the Ger Rebbe. So don't get the impression that I'm any greater than than the Ger Rebbe. He doesn't mention him by name, but he says, you know, there are many great tzaddikim and gedolim over here that are far greater than me. You shouldn't get the impression that I think I'm any greater than them just because I'm writing tshuvas to them. And then he closes with a tefillah that the zechus avos that he has from his family should be omeid lo lazaro, etc. That it should work for him, that shelo yikashal b'dvar halacha, that he shouldn't get anything wrong in the halacha, and that if he does have anything wrong in the halacha, people shouldn't follow it. People should have the good sense not to listen to him if he has anything wrong in halacha. Good. So that's it's a classical hakdama, pretty much. You know, the classic brief hakdama. But then he has the psicha. And the psicha is not really a psicha to the sefer per se, but it does, I think, provide an insight into his style of Torah. Just as a warning in advance, it's very different. It's very different than anything you're used to, probably. A lot of pilpul, chasidus, it's a very different style. He was a gon shebegaonim. Kol haTorah kula at his fingertips, nigla nistar, everything. Gon shebegaonim. But it's a very, very different style of learning. Now this psicha, it's interesting. The first Rosh Yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin was Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro was the one, what's he most famous for? You know Rav Meir Shapiro is most famous for? He's the one that came up with the concept that everyone should learn one daf a day. At Daf Yomi, he's when they say at every Siyum HaShas, they celebrate Meir Shapiro's idea of a Daf Yomi. If all the Klal Yisrael, you can go to any city where there's a from community and there's a Daf Yomi share and they're holding in the same place in Shas that you're holding. It's a brilliant idea. I mean, obviously, the Zuchus of Torah that he had, you know, at the time when he came out, the Rav Shechter always likes to say that the Hasidim, some of the Hasidim at the time said, he's destroying Torah. One daf? Who only does one daf a day? It's like a cop out. People are, instead of learning 5, 6, 7, I guess there were a bunch of Rabbi Levins there that would just, you know, knock off 10 dafim in a day and, you know, finish us every 10 months or something. One daf a day? So Rav Shechter tells the Maisa that one of the Hasidic yeshivas, they heard of this thing called daf yomi, but they didn't know. They just knew that it was bad. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know. They said it was bad. So one guy says, "What's this? What are you talking about?" He says, "Daf yomi. What's daf yomi?" It's probably Stama, it's a sefer that Rav Meir Shapiro wrote that's full of apikorsis. You know, they just knew it was bad. But it turned out to be pretty good. That it was a pretty good idea to come with Daf Yomi. But the second Rosh Yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin, Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frumer, came up with the idea of Mishnah Yomis. He said that everyone should do Mishnah Yomis because he realized that not everyone is up for it to do Daf Yomi. So he came up with a Mishnah Yomis program where he also finished Shas Mishnayis every 7 years or whatever the number is. I don't know exactly how often they finish. I think it was 2 Mishnayis a day, I think, is the official program. Never gained quite the popularity that Daf Yomi gained, that Daf Yomi enjoys. But he over here, this psicha is a shir that he gave at a siyum of the Chavr Mishnayis, of people who had learned Mishnah Yomis and were Mesayim Shas with Mishnah Yomis. So he starts out, and we'll try to go through as much of it as we can, and if we don't get through all of it, we don't get through all of it. We'll do whatever we can. He starts out by quoting Pasuk Hosea, Gam ki yitnu b'goyim ata akabitzeim, that even though the Jewish people are spread amongst the goyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the time of Geula, is going to gather them in. So, itani kulhu, ata akabtzeim, that, and he quotes from Chazal that if they're all learning, then I will gather them all in. If everybody is learning, so does it mean itani kulu? Kulu could mean everybody, or if they learn everything. So he says yesh lafari shloshim kulu bebezofanim. There are two ways to explain the language kulu. Either kol am Yisrael, that if all of the Jewish people learn Torah, then it will be a zchus for geula. Or maybe it means sheyilmedu kol echad kol haMishnayos shu kol Torah Shebal Peh. Maybe if we take the entire Torah Shebal Peh, which is the Mishnayos, and we learn all of it, it's al yedei limud of kol haTorah kula, of all of the Mishnayos, that will be zochet to geula. Why would we think that? Meaning everyone needs to learn all the Mishnayos. If you don't learn chves uktzin or temura, and you spend your time learning nashim nezikin or kachim, let's say, because you're so inspired by the Chavetz Chaim Saktama to learn kachim, whatever it is, and you don't learn one little piece of Torah, so we're not going to be zochet to the geula. So he says, yeah, I'll tell you why. The Rechayim HaKadosh writes that every mitzvah has a certain segula to be saved from something. Every mitzvah has a certain salvation associated with it. And if there's a ratzon in Shemayim to send a Yeshua to a person, so that the person will have the opportunity to do the mitzvah that holds the key to that Yeshua. Meaning, if a person needs parnasa, so there's a mitzvah that holds the key to parnasa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give him the opportunity to do that mitzvah, and mele parnasa will open up for him. If a person needs refuah, there's a mitzvah that holds the key to refuah, etc. Every mitzvah has its own Yeshua associated with it. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the opportunity for that mitzvah, it's usually because the person needs that Yeshua. But he says, Torah is the or of mitzvos, ner mitzvah v'torah or. So any place in the Torah also has its own skula for a particular Yeshua. So each part of the Torah has its own Yeshua associated with it. Geula, by definition, is Yeshua Klolius. It's a Yeshua that's Kolel Kola Yeshuos. It's a general Yeshua that includes all of the Yeshuos Pratios, all of the specific Yeshuos. When you have all of them together, that's called Geula. So when does Geula come? If every part of Torah, each detail of Torah, holds its own key to a specific Yeshua, then in order to have Geula, we need to have all of the Yeshuos all together. And that only happens when a person learns Kala Torah Kula. So he says in the second paragraph, Zeh Toela Shel Mishnah Yomis. That's the purpose of Mishnah Yomis. Shekol Bar Yisrael Ki Katan Ki Gadol Kalamdan Ki Shpashud Ka Asher Lomid Bar Chava Ki Socher Mutr Mod Nalam Si Parnasa. So no matter who you are, a katan or a gadol, a lamdan, a regular guy, or a rich guy who has plenty of time on his hands, or a guy who's busy making a living, kulam ke'echad yuchlu l'kachas chevel b'mitzvah gadola v'chaviva shel Talmud Torah derabim klal Yisrael. Everyone has the ability to learn Mishnah Yomis. Everyone has the ability to learn a couple of Mishnahs a day, and to be mesayim kol ha-Torah shebal peh in such an easy way b'meshach zayin shanim over the course of 7 years, and in that way we will have this Geula. It's when Tani Kulhu, not just that every Jew is learning, but that we're learning all of it. We're learning all of Torah Shebal Peh. And he quotes Magen Avraham in Tafresh Pei Zayin, Sivkot and Gimel, and Machzor Shekel explaining over there that even if we're not all learning in the same place, it could still be called Talmud Torah Derabim. Even though I'm over here and someone else in a different country, in a different city, people are all over the place, but when we're all learning the same Inyan, we're all together on the same page, even that's called Talmud Torah Derabim. So he writes that just like Shekol Makom in HaTorah Yesh Lo Skula Miyuchedes, just like each spot in the Torah, each portion of Torah has its own skula, so too he says, maybe the other interpretation of Kulu is also critical for Geula. What was the other interpretation of Kulu? That all of Klal Yisrael has to learn, because maybe it's also true of each member of Klal Yisrael. We know there's Shishim Ribo Osios Betara, the Gemara says in Kiddushin. Why did the Gemara pick the number Shishim Ribo? It's not because it's an accurate count. There aren't actually 600,000 letters in the Torah. It's an obvious attempt to associate the letters of the Torah with the members of Klal Yisrael. Shishim Ribo is the number that signifies each member of Klal Yisrael, because at the birth of Klal Yisrael, that's how many there were. So when we say Shishim Ribo Osios B'Torah, we're saying that each Jew has his own chelek in Torah, his own way of processing it, his own way of analyzing it, his own way of asking a question is going to contribute something to Torah that nobody else could contribute. So if it's true that each and every os in the Torah has its own skula, its own Yeshua associated with it, and in order to have Geula, we need all of those parts of Torah to come together. Well, each Jew is a part of Torah, and therefore each Jew's chelek in Torah is a mini Yeshua. And the only way to have the larger Geula is when we have all of the Jewish people contributing their portion. So he says both of these interpretations of Kulhu are critical. So he writes that, you know, on a day of the Siyum, Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, I feel like a Baal Simcha. And a Baal Simcha has Koach Levarich. Someone who has Simcha has the ability to give a bracha. And particularly, he says, I want to give a bracha to the people who learn Mishnayis, who learn the Mishnah Yomis. And he says, I want to be Mevarich everybody with 7 brachos that the Birchas Kohanim covered. The Birchas Kohanim essentially cover the following 7 brachos. Chaim, Shalom, Chachma, Osher, Chain, Zera, and Memshala. So he says, I want to explain what each of these brachos mean, what each of these seven categories of brachos mean, and expound on each one a little bit, and that's going to be my bracha to everybody gathered for the Siyum Mishnayis. He says, you know, Tand Ve'el Yo, it says, Piskul Lefanei Pesach B'Divrei Torah, Shu Pesach Gadol Mikala Psachim. Open up a Pesach with Divrei Torah, because that's the largest doorway you could ever open, the doorway of Divrei Torah. So he says, Hineni Ha'ani Liftach L'Kol Echem Ya'Brach Sinal Pesach B'Divrei Torah. So if I'm going to open up a doorway of bracha for each and every person that I'm trying to be mevarich, it would be most appropriate to do so with Divrei Torah about each of these brachos, so that the bracha could be chal in its fullest form. So you'll notice the whole format of these pages. You'll see the big letter Aleph in the right. The Aleph, he starts with Osher. Now, even though he went through the order and he said Chaim Shalom Chachma, Osher was only fourth on the list. So he says, I got to start with Osher because, unfortunately, that's the biggest problem that was the most pressing problem that was facing the people at the time was people that didn't have food. People didn't have any food on the tables. They were nebuch. There was a very, very difficult time, parnasa-wise. So he said, I'm going to start with the Osher because that's foremost on people's minds. So we'll start with the bracha of Osher. So he starts with the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara at the very end of Kiddushin says, "Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, mi olam lo reisi tzvi kayetz va'arisavol v'shul chenveni, famous pranasim shlo b'tzar." It's a somewhat of a humorous line in the Gemara. It says, you know, I've never seen a fox who's a storekeeper. You know, I've never seen a lion who's an accountant, I've never seen these different animals have different jobs, and somehow they all have futit. They're mispanei shalobitzar. The himlo nivruel l'sham sheni, and they're only put on this world to be mishamish human beings. So a simple kalvachomer. If those that are put here just to serve me get parnasa without any tzar, anisha and reisi l'shamish eskoni alachas kama v'kama. I've been created to be mishamish the borei olam. So I should definitely get parnasa shalobitzar. Why is it so hard to make a living? Why is it hard to find a job? Why is it so difficult? It shouldn't be so hard. If even the animals have no problem making a parnasa, and they're lower than me, so why do I have a problem? Ella, so the answer to that kalvachomer is shariosi es maasi v'kipachti es parnasasi. It's because we don't do enough mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu withholds parnasa from us because we don't do everything that we should be doing. Now, the clear conclusion of the Gemara is that the kalvachomer is not a good kalvachomer. Right? Meaning, we thought we had a kalvah chomer that of course I deserve parnasa. The answer is, no, we don't. We don't deserve it. If we deserved it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give it to us. And then he goes on this whole thing, and this again, it's a different style of learning. He says, you know, the Ramami Panu writes that every havamina in Shas is also emes. That's what they say. I think Rav Chaim Vlozhner writes also that va'lo lo yibel afil sicha schul shatamid chaim tzrichin limud. The Gemara is a drasha that even its leaves will not wither. So the Gemara in Sukkah darshan that even sicha schul of tamid chaim requires learning. So I think Rav Chaim Vlozhner writes that in Rav Chaim that what that means is, what do you mean? Talmud Chacham speaks Sicha Schulin? Meir Chitesi Talmud Chacham is going to speak Sicha Schulin. He should always be talking in Torah. He says, no, what it means Sicha Schulin is he's going to say a whole shir, and he'll have a havamina to learn a certain way, and then he'll have a kasha, and he'll realize that his whole mahalich was incorrect. But even the Sicha Schulin, even the havamina, needs limud. Rav Shechter said that Rav Soloveitchik used to do that all the time. He'd come and he'd say a whole shir, and he'd have a whole mahalich, and then the next day he'd come in and say, thought about it, it was wrong. And he would start all over again. So what, yesterday was 3 hours of Bittul Torah by listening to that whole shir, and chazring that whole shir was Bittul Torah? No, even the Sichas Chulin requires limud. So the Rambam Panu says even a Havamina in the Gemara requires limud. A Havamina in the Gemara is not just something that we ignore, we forget about, and okay, let's just get to the bottom line. The Havamina means something. And he says, B'Shem Agona Kodosh HaChidush HaRim Zatzal Shamati. He said, I heard from the Ger Rebbe that in Golos, our Ikur Kiyum is through Havaminas in Shas, is through Salka Daitach in Shas. What does that mean, that our Ikur Kiyum is through a Salka Daitach in Shas? I have no idea what it really means. But he says that the association between Golus and a Salka Daituch is that the entire concept of Golus is only a Hava Amina. The Maskana is going to be Geula. We're living in a Hava Amina. So our Chiyus, in as we know it, in Golus, comes from Hava Aminas in Shas. This is his long way of saying that I think the Hava Amina is a good Kal V'chomer. The Kal V'chomer that was a Hava Amina over here, he says, I think is a good Kal V'chomer. The Kal V'chomer is a good Kal V'chomer. Why is it a good Kal V'chomer? Based on Yerushalmi at the beginning of Megillah. The Yerushalmi at the beginning of Megillah talks about, we know in the first Mishnah Megillah, the Mishnah tells us that the Megillah is read by different cities at different times. A regular city reads on Yudalad Adar, which is what we call Purim. A city that's been walled from the times Yeshua ben Nun reads on Tezvav Adar, which is what we call Shushan Purim. And the Kfarim, the little tiny villages, read as early as Yeralef, the Makdim and Liyam HaKnisa. What if you have a big city that's destroyed, and there's another area near it that was like a suburb of that city? So do you read in that suburb now on the same time that you would have read in that big city? So the Yerushalmi says, Krach shechara v'nasa shel gayim b'samuch lo korin bo mibayi. You would read even in the suburbs, so of course you'd read in the city itself on the original day that we always did. So the Ritva says, v'samuch lo pshita de korin afgav de'ikra kedushaso mipasa yosu samuch le krach. Now the suburbs, of course you're going to read, even though the whole kedusha of that city was only on of the suburb was only on account of its association with the big city. V'akrach atzmar e'batul me'alat Malasso, and now that city lost its whole maila. We call it lost its all of its value. We call makom samach lo karin kiven shabo leko shum shinui klal. But the suburbs didn't go through any change, and therefore they would still be korei. We kiven the samach lo karin bo mi bayi. So once you're reading the samach lo, once you're reading the suburbs, mainly you'd go back to that big city. So he says, it's the same thing over here in kiddushin. These are the kinds of connections that he makes. Same thing over here in kiddushin. The Gemara says exactly the same svara. The ikur mile of the animals is mitzad ha'adam. It's mitzad that they're here l'sham sheni. They're here to be mishamish people. By the Adam, though, unfortunately, there's a chisaron. Just like the big city was destroyed, Adam doesn't have avera, so there's a chisaron. But still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still going to support the animals. The animals haven't changed. Nothing has changed from the animals from the times when people were good and people are bad. The animals are still exactly the same. Just like the suburbs haven't changed, just because the big city was destroyed, the suburbs are still exactly the same. So Mela, the suburbs still follow the same halacha. The animals are still going to get their parnasa benachas v'lo b'tzara. They're going to have an easy time getting their parnasa. And once the animals, which are only the tafel, are getting their parnasa, so bomi bayi, of course the people that they support, even though the people have changed, will still get that same parnasa. Just like by the cities, once the suburbs are reading at the proper time, so even though the city has changed, but if the suburbs, which are tafel, are reading at the proper time, then for sure the main city will. So he says, Al Yisod Zeh, you can say the Kal V'chomer is a good Kal V'chomer, and that which the Gemara says, Shariyosi Yas Masiv, Yikipachti Yas Parnasasi, Lo Tavra Mehod Yerushalmi Resh Megillah B'samach Lo Korin, B'samach Lo Korin Bo Mibayi. He says, from the Yerushalmi you see not like the Maskana of this Gemara, you see like the Havamin of this Gemara, and this Havamin is a good Havamin. What's he trying to do? He's trying to say, Ribono Shel Olam, you owe it to us. If the animals can get parnasa, we need to have parnasa. It's a good kal v'chomer. In Golos, we listen to havaminas, and this havamina is a good havamina. It's a strong havamina based on the Yerushalmi. He says, and even based on the maskana, where we say in the Gemara, where we reject this kal v'chomer, and we say no, we deserve that. We don't deserve anything. He says the Gemara says Masech Shabbos of Kufta Zayin Amar Aleph. The Gemara raises a question. If you have klaf of the Sefer Torah on Shabbos that's burning, Rachmana Litzlan, do you save it from a fire or do you not? Or it's in a burning building, rather. Do you save it from a fire and violate otsa, carry it outside, save it from a fire or not? So makom aksav lo kami bayli dechi kaddish agav ksavu kaddish azul ksav azul kedushasa. The place where the ksav was, that's certainly not a shaila. Once the ksav is gone, the kedush is gone. So the cloth itself, where the ksav was, wouldn't be so valuable. Ki kami bayli lemalu lemato ben shita l'shita. The whole shaila is on the margins where it never had actual ksav. So Rashi says over there, Kivan disham lekashinoi, that hasn't changed. That's exactly the same. So it could be Efshar da'af de'makom ha'ksav nimchak lo palka kedushasun. Even though the place where the ksav was, the ksav is no longer there, but maybe the margins haven't changed. So he says, you see, it's the exact svar of the Yerushalmi, that even though the ikur kedusha of the margins is that mishtam shel makom ha'ksav, is that they're there to support the middle area where we actually have the ksav, and the makom ha'ksav has been erased. The makom ha'ksav is not the same as it once was, but still the margins retain their kedusha. And therefore, that should be Megala back on the Ksav to save the area of the Ksav as well. Because once that which is Meshamishit is going to be saved, then the rest of it has to be saved as well. So he says, you see, a very similar Svara to the Yerushalmi. But he says, it should have said, the Kalvachot, meaning the way the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf Tezayin, it never brings it back to the Makom HaKsav. It just says, okay, so that's why you would save the Gvil and you'd save the marginal area, because nothing changed in the marginal area. But it never says, oh, since nothing changed in the marginal area, we're going to save that. Memela, you'd save the Makom HaKsav also. It doesn't go that far. It doesn't go back to the big city. It doesn't go back to the people who do Averos, right, along this equation over here. Right, are we getting the equation? We're associating the suburbs with the animals getting Parnassa, with the margins of the Sefer Torah. We're associating the big city, which was destroyed, with people who do Averos and therefore don't deserve Parnassa, with Ksav, Makom HaKsav, that was actually erased. Now, by the case of the cities, the Yerushalmi says that if the suburbs are going to read, so Mela, the big city, is going to read also. So, why don't we say the same thing over here? That he says, Akasha, Dimkein, Avalilam, Gamkein, Kavachomer, Kivin, the Begilion, and Kadshi, Makom HaKsav, Mibayi, Ken, Besamachlo, Koren, Besamachlo, Koren, Bo, Mibayi. We should have said the same thing, that the Makom HaKsav also should be saved. So he says, you have to say what I say in Siach HaSadeh, my Sefer Siach HaSadeh. There's a difference between the two. Why? What's the difference? The shiny Bahad Megillah, the Gam Guf HaKrach Yishba Malas HaSamach, Kamosh Kasav Rashi. He says, the actual city itself is not only the city, it's not only the city itself, but it's also Samach to the city. Because there's nothing closer than it itself. Meaning there's nothing that has a din of samuch more than something itself. Ein lecha samuch yoser migufo. There's no kurva yoser migufo. Adam karov etzal atzmo. Right? We think of relatives as people, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister. That's what we think of kurva. But adam karov etzal atzmo, we're a karov to ourselves, even more so. So when it comes to the city, there's a din of samuch. The city itself still has a din of samuch, even though it's the city itself. So mainly, even though it lost its koach of the city, it should still have its koach of samuch. So if the suburbs, which are samuch, have that koach, so then the city will still retain that status of samuch. And even though nishtana gufo, even though something happened to change the city. But when it comes to the Malkum of the Ksav of the Sefer Torah, the Malkum of the Ksav does not have a din of the margins of the Sefer Torah. It's a totally different din. And once it loses its status as the Makom HaKsav, so we're not going to say, oh, well, if the margins still have Kedusha, then the Makom HaKsav has Kedusha. No, the Makom HaKsav is not a margin. It's a totally different level of Kedusha, and its Kedusha is lost. Its Kedusha was on account of the letters, and the letters are gone. So he says as follows, L'fiseh b'nidon didan. And this is how he concludes each and every one of the seven categories of bracha. You see his chasidus, mamish, you know, shining through with each one. At the end of each one he says, so it's all about being meshamesh the Rebbe. It's all about being mehana the Rebbe, being mevatel yourself to the Rebbe. Now, it's all, everything comes back to that. All seven, he's going to always come back to that. So he says, l'fi zeh b'nidon didan. Osan tam chun dar reisa, shem sham shen l'tamid hachamim al derech kol olam lo nivra el tzavol sozeh, yeshem gam kein malas chayavov shenivra l'shamish la tzadik ho'ovir es Hashem. Those who support Torah, support the Talmud Chacham, and are meshamesh the Talmud Chacham as much as possible. So then it's like the Chayav Oof that are created for the tzaddik to be over as Hashem. Afgav shehiru es maaseyim, even if the person has gone off the path, still the animals are there to be meshamishim. Mikamakum shaper shayach kal v'chomer, even the yeshlam osum ma'ila sheyesh chavov. Right, I didn't connect it back over there. By the case of the Chayav Oof, the Chayav Oof is meshamesh the person. The person's on a higher level. What happens when the person does averos? So then what does the person become? So then he becomes like a behema. It's not that he, because he's at first, on the very base level, a person is an animal on this earth. Elamai, he has an extra maila that he's also an Eved Hashem, and he also has a seichel. He has the ability to have a Yerushamayim and to have a spiritually fulfilling life. But he's also just a behema, right? He's also a behema. When he loses that spirituality, though, he could still fall back on the behema. So the behema still gets parnasa. The person should still get parnasa. So he said, but that's only so if you're still if he still has that maila umagila minadin. So we'd still have that kal v'chomer din kal v'chomer anal shein esparnas u'shlo b'tzar v'achalim mikol atzadikim u'gedolim and asafim po she'askimu l'za v'yanu kalam v'amru amein ken yiratzon. So he says we should all answer amein that this kal v'chomer should be shaykh to us, and that we should be zocha to have parnasa. So that's number one, that's osher. Now he moves on. Memshala. What's memshala? So he writes that the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, after it lists off all the madregos of the Rishayim in Gehenim, it says, Haminim, Vamasores, Vapikorsin, Yardin, Gehenim, Vinidonba, Lidore Doros, the Kolkach Lama. Why did the Minim and the Apikorsim have Gehenim for Dore Doros? Shepashtu Yedeyen Bizvul. Because they rebelled against or took away the Zvul. What's the Zvul? Pirush Rashi, Shagarmu Bavonosam Lahachriv HaMikdash. That they caused the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, Chidush Atzum, Rishayim have all sorts of Averus on their record. They've done all sorts of horrible things. But the reason that they get the full force of Gehenim is because they caused the Churban Habayis with their Averos. The Chorot's difficult. So every Rasha since the Churban Habayis, why does he get Gehenim? He didn't cause the Churban Habayis. A Rasha was born after the Churban Habayis. And he's a murderer and does all sorts of horrible things and a ganav. So why does he get Gehenim? He didn't cause the Churban. So he says, Tzarech Lomer, what you have to say is, based on the Gemara, that Kol Dor, that the Beis HaMikdash was not rebuilt in that generation, it's Kilu Uscharav Diyamav. Meaning, we often think of it that the default position is that we were born without a Beis HaMikdash, so the world is in a position that it doesn't have a Beis HaMikdash. To get it back, we need to do something to get it back. That's not correct, the Gemara says. The default position is always that there is a Mikdash. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants a makom for Hashras Hashchina. The default position of this earth is that there should be a Mikdash. If we don't have a Mikdash at any given time, it's because we've done something bad to destroy the Mikdash. It means that if we don't have a Mikdash today, it's because if we did have a Mikdash yesterday, the Averos we have done since would have destroyed it anyway. So each day that we don't have a Mikdash, it's ki'ilu, it's being destroyed. If we did have a Mikdash, it would have been destroyed. The default position is to have a Mikdash. So all the Rishayim, it's their Averos that actually destroy the Mikdash. They were poshit yedeyan bizvul. Now, the Medrash says that Zvulun is called Zvulun because it says Beno Benisi Beis Zvulach. So he quotes the Sakachavar Rebbe that Zvulun is Mevatel himself to Yisachar. Zvulun makes himself like a nobody, Keneged Yisachar, right? He's willing to give all of his money and to help support Yisachar to make sure Yisachar is able to strive in his Torah learning. So from that, the Or HaMikdash emerges. From Zvulun, Zvul is the Beis HaMikdash. From Zvulun's Hisbatlus to Yisachar, the Beis HaMikdash is able, the Koach of the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is able to come back. So the Nedivei Am, you see where he's going, with their money that support Talmidei Chachamim, and anyone who gathers for that purpose to support Torah, is being goreim, that their chelik of the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. So anyone who supports Torah is Roi Shei Natzal Medina Shel Gehenim. Mela, they deserve to be saved from Gehenim. Because when you're building the Mikdash, you're saved from Gehenim. And you just put two and two together. Someone who does Averos, the only reason they go to Gehenim is because they're destroying the Mikdash. At any time, even if you're born after the Churban HaBayis, it's still, someone who does Averos is destroying the Beis HaMikdash. What brings the Beis HaMikdash? What would bring the Beis HaMikdash back? So what brings the Beis HaMikdash back, we're told, is Zvulun. Zvulun's Mida of supporting Yisachar is what brings the Beis HaMikdash back. Being misbattled oneself to the Kedusha is what brings the Beis HaMikdash, what brings the Beis HaMikdash back. So all those who support Torah are going to be able to bring the Beis HaMikdash back, and that's ultimately saving themselves from Gehenim, because Gehenim is associated with destroying the Mikdash. Being saved from Gehenim is rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. That's one mahalich he has in Memshala. Od Yesh Lomer, he says, Rashi at the end of Parshas Kedoshim writes, "Va'avdil eschem min ha'amim li osli. Im atem uvdalim, harei atem li, v'im lav, harei atem shol Nebuchadnezzar v'chaverav." Rashi has an interesting dichotomy. He says, if you're muvdal from all the other nations, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, then you're mine. And if you're not muvdal from all the other nations, well, then you belong to Nebuchadnezzar v'chaverav. He says, we find in Parshas Korach, Boker v'yodeh Hashem es asher lo ve'es hakadosh. Then in the morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will determine es asher lo, those who belong to him, ve'es hakadosh. And we see that there are two categories. There's es asher lo, es hakadosh. He says, Levi is called es asher lo. The Gemara Chulin daf Chav Dalid, Levi is al shem ve'yilavu elecha ve'esher sucha. That it's the Levi is misharis the Kohen Gadol, is misharis the Tzadik Hador. That's Es Asher Lo. Es Asher Lo is the one who's Mishareis Es HaKadosh, who's the one who serves the Kadosh. Kol Machzike Talmidei Chachamim, anyone who is Machzik Talmidei Chachamim, and Ovdei Hashem Yisparach is called Es Asher Lo. And Mimela, we're not Shal Nebuchadnezzar. We don't belong to Nebuchadnezzar. So again, putting it all together, Rashi says in Parshas Kedoshim that if we are moved to Mina Amim, we will be Hashem's, Leo's Li, and not Shal Nebuchadnezzar. But what does Es Asher Li mean? What does to be Hashem's mean? Well, we know from Es Asher Lo Ves HaKadosh that Es Asher Lo means to be someone who serves Talmidei Chachamim. So if one wants to avoid the wrath of Nebuchadnezzar, if one wants to avoid subservience to the likes of Nebuchadnezzar, should be Meshamish Talmidei Chachamim. Again, every paragraph is about that concept of being mevatel yourself to the tzaddik, being meshamish the tzaddik, giving to the tzaddik. Every paragraph in the Halak Dhamma. Says Rashi writes, "Im ein muvdal miumos b'macholos hasuros hare atam shel Nebuchadnezzar v'chaverav." Specifically, when it comes to macholos hasuros, if we eat non-kosher food like the umos olam, then we're going to fall into the trap of Nebuchadnezzar. So it sounds like the whole shlita of the umos over Klal Yisrael and all the gezeros that they're able to make, it's all because of macholos hatzuros. So the Kash Glover, apparently speaking to a problem of his time, said, "I think every rav should be misakin in their own cities. Sha'al sudas mitzvah, sudas chasnos, sudas brismila, lo yochlu basar." Pretty impressive, no? He said that by every bris, okay, bris, no big deal, but by every chasna, there should be no meat. Why? He said, because we have to be so careful about ma'acholos asuros. Ma'acholos asuros is what makes us fall to Nebuchadnezzar. So what? Who says meat's ma'acholos asuros? We're allowed to eat meat. So he said, no, because with all of the gezeros that they have against shechita, so to do it on a private level, to feed your family, you can get a good shechita for one animal or whatever. But to make a big party with it, it's almost impossible to find reliable shechita. They can be able to make a big party. That was the state of kashrus in wherever he was. I don't know if this was in Warsaw or whatever, but that was the state of kashrus at the time. So he said he wanted to make such a takana because that's the power of machol surus, lets us fall to Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, but that's the second approach to Memshallah. Od Yesh Lomar, he says. The Gemara at the beginning of Brachos says that the Chacham were misakin to say Hashkivenu in Mariv because it's Geula Arichta Damya. It's like one long Geula. He says, I don't understand what that's talking about. We say Hashem Sfasai Tivtach before Shemona Esrei, the Gemara says, because that's Kitfila Arichta. That makes sense because it's actually part of the Tfila. But Hashkivenu is not even about Geula. When you're saying Hashem Sfasai Tivtach, you're davening to Hashem. So it makes sense that once they're misaking that it's part of the Tfila, it's part of Shemona Esrei, so Mele, it's Kitfila Arichta. But Hashkivenu is not even about Geula. So how could that be Smichus Geula Tfila when you add in after Gal Yisrael a paragraph of Hashkivenu? Tamid Rabbi Yonah and Brachos asked this kasha already, and they do give an approach about why Hashkivenu Taka is on the theme of Geula, but he's ignoring the Tamid Rabbi Yonah's answer for now. He says also the Lashon, that kivun to takinu rabbanon hashkivenu. Since the rabbanon were mesakein hashkivenu, that's why it's gula arichta. He says, manufshach. If it has a shaykhus to gula, then even the rabbanon were never mesakein it's gula arichta. And if it doesn't have a shaykhus to gula, right, if there's no connection to gula, then what does rabbanon mesakein it help any? It shouldn't be gula arichta anyway. So he says, maybe we could answer based on another Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah on Daf Yud Beis says, Masnisa Tana, lo ma'asticha b'yimei kazdim shematalim Daniel Hanani Mishael v'Azariah. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I didn't become disgusted with you in the days of the kazdim because I provided proper leadership for you. I gave you Daniel Hanani Mishael v'Azariah. V'lo ga'altim, I didn't become disgusted with you. That refers to b'yimei Ivanim in the days of the Greeks. I gave you proper leadership then, shematalim Shimon HaTzadik. I gave you Shimon HaTzadik. L'chalosam, to wipe you out, that's a reference b'yimei Haman, to the days of Haman. Why? I gave you proper leadership then also. Shematalem Mordechai v'Esther. I gave you Mordechai and Esther. L'hafer brisi itam, b'yimei Parsiim. L'hafer brisi itam refers to the times of the Parsiim. Shematalem shal beis Rebbe v'chachmei Adoros. Because I gave you the house of Rebbe and all the chachmei Adoros. Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, la'asulavo. Elokeichem la'asulavo. I am Hashem your God, la'asulavo. That's how it ends. So from the fact that it concludes with Ani Hashem Elokeichem on all of the leadership, the Torah leadership throughout the generations, what that tells us is that Kol Beis Rebbe and the Chachmei Adoros are Mamshech the Or of Liyasulava, meaning they are the stepping stone to Liyasulava. They're the ones that get us to Laasulava. And that's when Ani Hashem Elokeichem is finally going to be fulfilled. So he says, since what's the Gemara saying? Since the Rabbanan were Mesakein Hashkivenu, it's Kugula Richta Dami. Why since the Rabbanan? If Hashkivenu is Bakulu, let it be Gula Richta. No. Kivan de Takinu Rabbanan Hashkivenu. And when we say Hashkivenu, what we're showing is that we're listening to the Rabbanan, that we're following what the Rabbanan are saying. Sal Yidei Zeh, we have an Achiza Bechachme Adoros. We're connected to the Chachmei Adoros, and that's the Geula Arichta, the connection to the Chachmei Adoros, because that's what brings us to the Olas Lavo, to the Zman HaGeula. Therefore, he says, Zvulun, who's mevatel himself to Yisachar, who's mevatel himself to the Chachmei Adoros, is Mamshech Ani Hashem Elokeim from the Olas Lavo, and is able to go Mishibud LeGeula, is able to bring himself Mishibud LeGeula. That is Memshala. I don't think we're going to get through all seven. We'll do another one now. Chayim. So let's get to the third one. Chayim, he says. Kibalti mirabosai. Di'ikr chayim hu simcha. It's another thing about Hasidish style. Is a Maimar Chazal is the same as Kibalti mirabosai. You know, I once heard the Ger Rebbe say, you know, as he was walking to shul, this idea, so mele, it's as strong as, you know, it's treated like Devrelekim Chayim. So he says, Kibalti Mirabosa. Right, they say, I think they even say B'Shem Reb Chayim, that a similar concept, that when a mistaver of Rishonim is stronger than a Raya of Achronim. Why? Because if an Achron brings a Raya, he has a Raya from a Gemara, that his idea is correct. When a Rishon says mistaver, that something's mistaver, it means that all of Shas indicates that it's correct, because his Svara is based on a knowledge of all of Shas. So it means that it's a raya from Gan's Shas. So that's the attitude. Kibalti mirabosai, he says. That the attitude, I don't know what he doesn't identify a raya from Shas, but kibalti mirabosai, from all of Shas, from all of Nigla and Istar, that the ikar of Chayim is Simcha. The ikar of life is Simcha. So he says, the pasuk says, Hashivali sason yishecha. I have a few kashas, he says. Hashivali, return to me the joy of your salvation. What do you mean return to me? Did we have the joy of our salvation, then we gave it to Hashem, and now we're asking for it back? It's like a pikadon. What does that mean, Hashiva? And furthermore, sason yeshecha, just say salvation. Why do you have to say the joy of your salvation? I get it. Salvation is good. I'll be happy. You don't have to say sason yeshecha. So he says, a lot of times you find people who have parnasa barachava, they do very nicely in business, but they're not nana accused from it. They get no ana from it whatsoever. They have so much agmas nefesh from other things that break their heart and that totally break them down, that with all their material success, they don't get to enjoy it, they don't get to have any benefit from it. And they don't have any nachas ruach from all of their hard work. Hashivali sason yeshecha. The Yeshua, maybe I have the Yeshua already, but I don't have the sason of the Yeshua. Give me the sason of the Yeshua, and that's Hashivali. Return that to me, because I have the Yeshua already. So it's supposed to come with a certain Nachas Ruach that I once had in my life. Hashivali, return that back to me, the sason of the Yeshua. He says this, we see a lot of times, that a person on the one hand has Tovah Ruchava, but he doesn't find Nachas Ruach Ba'ashro. He says, Gemara in Shabbos writes like this. It says, why should that be the case? Kivin Shemagiyalo, Lamal Yeshua Agmas Nefesh La'ashok Mimenu HaNachas Ruach V'sasun Yeshua. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to bless a person with the Parnasa, why doesn't he give him the opportunity automatically to have the Nachas Ruach? Why would a Kodesh Baruch Hu work in such a way where he gives you the skeleton of success, which is the Parnasa, but he's not going to actually let you enjoy it? Also, he says, the Zohar Kodesh in Parshas Vayeshev famously says that a Baal Bechira can do things to you that were not Nigzar Min HaShemayim. Why in Parshas Vayeshev? Yosef's brothers sell Yosef, and they were going to kill him. Let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't decree that Yosef should be killed, and the brothers would have decided to kill him. Would he be killed? So the Zohar says, yeah, they could have killed him. Even if it was not decreed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What they decided is, they said, let's not take the chance, we'll put him in a bar that has Nechash Ma'akrabim, and that Nechash Ma'akrabim are only going to kill him if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees it. But if we kill him, it might be even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't decree it. According to some, it's apikorsis, right? To say that we have the ability to go against the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unbelievable. He says, that's very difficult, though. He says, the Medrash says, Ofu b'lo shamaya lo mitzit. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't decree that a bird should be trapped, then a hunter can't trap a bird. But the hunter's Baal Bechira, why can't he? Why can't he trap a bird? Also, in Yuma, the Gemara says, B'mekomcha yeshivucha b'shimcha yikarucha v'ein adam nogea b'muchan l'chaveru v'ein malchus nogas b'chaver tekum lo nima. You can't touch one iota of what belongs to somebody else without HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreeing that you should have the right to have what belongs to somebody else. But you're a Baal Bechira, so shouldn't you be allowed to, according to the Zohar? Shouldn't you be able to take that which belongs to somebody else? So he says, let me explain, Derech Efshar, what this all means. In order to explain all this, I need to tell you a kasha that the Rambam says. Someone killed somebody else. Why is he Chayiv Misa? Mistam, if you killed someone else, it was Nigzer Min HaShemayim, that person should be killed. So, in order to understand that, you need to ask another kasha. Every Chayiv Malkus that we have, what does it take to be Chayiv Malkus? You need to violate a Lo Sasei in the Torah, but not if it's a Lav Anita Klasei, not if it's a Lav Shemba Maisa. How do I know all those rules of what it takes to be Chayiv Malkus? It has to be Dumya de Lav de Chasima. Any Lav that's similar to Lo Sachsum Shor B'disho, you're Chayiv Malkus for. Any Lav that's not similar to Lo Sachsum Shor B'disho, you're not Chayiv Malkus for. Why Dafka Lo Sachsum Shor B'disho? Of all the Lavin to be the example of Malkus, why Lo Sachsum Shor B'disho? So he says, V'nir lani astaiti behekdem liyashiv kushi anal, v'en echelki ani oni. He says, let me give my take on it. Someone who has Hashkachas Hashem and Rosh Hashanah is Nidon Latov. It's Efshar for any person to take away any of the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined in Rosh Hashanah this person is going to get. If Reuven is supposed to get a bracha on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem determined that Reuven deserves bracha, Shimon cannot take any of that bracha away from him. Ach, yesh mi she'ne'ezav lemikrim chas v'shalom v'gam b'zeh alfei alaf madregos. He says, but sometimes it's not 100% determined for Rosh Hashanah that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be Mashkiach, that you're going to have exactly this. Sometimes Hashem says, I'll leave this to chance. Leave it up, you know, we'll leave this one alone and see what happens. Va'oz efshar, sha'tov sheyesh lahu b'mikra. In those circumstances, it could be you'll be successful, but it's total mikra. It's not because it's the decree of Kodesh Baruch Hu. And if that's where your success is coming from, then someone else is going to be able to take it. Even if it wasn't part of the Gezerah, because there was no Gezerah, the whole thing is not part of the Gezerah. He said, Yosef HaTzadik, even though he was Vaday Bechlal Enei Hashem El Yireyav, but Le'inyin Mechiras Yosef HaShlechos Lubar, Shayeg Zardin, Efshe Shayeg Zardin, Gamlin Zerak Lo'ozva LeMikre. It could be that the Gezardin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to leave Yosef up to Mikre. and not to make any specific gezeirah on Yosef. And Mela, says the Zohar, the brothers would have been able to undo that. The brothers would have been able to do whatever they want to him because they're Bali Bechira. So he says, now we can explain Malkus. Ikur onesh Malkus enu al pagam shalachet l'mala. He says, why do we get Malkus? Because we insulted Hashem. We hurt Hashem. We were pogame the heavens. Whatever we were pogame up in the heavens, Malkus isn't going to fix. Ikara onesh machmash al yidei achet gorim listom tzinoros hashefa. The Malkus that we get is because we've closed off some of the pathways of bracha that our Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to be mashpia on us down in this world. It's a pagam lamata. And that's why the onesh is lamata. That's the onesh of Malkus. Amnam nira. However, the kmode in adam nagia b'muchan l'chavera b'masha magia al piashkacha pratios, just like no one can affect anybody else and what they deserve, if what they deserve and what they get is based on ashkachas Hashem, hu adin shalidei achet liyuchal hu lekalkal ha-shefa shemegiyah l'chaver v'shnitlam b'din Rosh Hashanah. If Reuven is supposed to get a certain shefa of bracha on Rosh Hashanah, I can't do an avera that will stop that. I don't have the ability to be nogea kimlo nima in what he's supposed to get. When I do an avera, what am I stopping? I'm stopping that shefa that's up to mikra. That's up that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leaving open-ended. Ikra kilku losan l'shein la mitzad hashkacha pratis, rak mitzad mikra. That I could do with a chet. That I could ruin with a chet. Ach, l'chori yishmakam l'hakshos. De bishlama im hayim agiyah shefa l'chaver al pidin, roi lo leonish al shemekal kal shef. He says, but then wait a second. Why am I getting punished? If I actually ruined somebody else, what somebody else actually deserved, and I took away that shefa from him, good, so then I understand you're going to punish me. But if you're telling me anything that he deserves, I don't have the koch to take away from him. And the only shefa I can take away from him is shefa that he didn't really deserve. It was all up to mikra anyway. So why should I get punished? He didn't deserve it in the first place. That's why Malkus is related to l'sachsum shor. The rov harishonim zal kaslu, the ikarach shkacha pratius hu la'adam lo l'balechayim. Hashkacha pratis is only for people, it's not for balei chayim. And therefore, all the mezonos and the parnasa of a shor is b'derech mikra. It's not b'derech hashkacha. And still there's a lav, lo sachsom, don't close off that shefa either. If the shor is supposed to eat, even though it's not b'hashkacha from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no hashkacha pratis on the shor, you're not allowed to close off that shefa. So I'm not allowed to do an avera that's going to affect somebody else. And that's why I deserve Malkus, even though that person doesn't really deserve it. It's totally up to Mikra. That's the concept of Malkus. He says, going back to the rich man who doesn't get to benefit from his wealth. La'adam, why is it that a person has ashirus and doesn't have nachas ruach from it? Because that's talking about a person who has osher b'derech mikra. But someone who has osher b'hashkacha pratis, so that's the birchas Hashem hu ta'ashiv lo sasav etzav, or you can't do anything about that. The Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha writes, hashkacha pratis is only for tzaddikim. Ein Hashem el yireyav. So since the whole world is only created litzavos latzadik, alkein lefam gam heim b'chlal hashkacha mipas hatzadik. When a person is mevatel himself to the tzadik, he is now zoche to the hashkacha of the tzadik. And once you have that hashkacha, once your success is with hashkacha and it's not b'derech mikra, no one could touch your success. You'll always have nachas ruach from that success. Amnam hadamu bal bechirah, k'shirot zaliyos litzavos litzag l'sham ishas ishrachav, azu kamohu. We're a bal bechirah. And when we choose to connect to a tzaddik, we become like the tzaddik. And we get the same hashkacha of the tzaddik. And our parnasa becomes parnasa b'derech hashkacha. And mele we find nachas ruach with our osha. So that's his take on chayim. Now a person experiences chayim. It's not even the whole take, it's about halfway. All right, so we did 3 out of 7. They're all in this style. Connect to a tzaddik, support Torah, and then ultimately all will be good in life. Okay.